Hello and welcome to the Iron Jar 777 podcast. So tonight, recording the podcast. By the way, sorry about not getting the other episode out until earlier. There's a little bit of technical issues that prevented me from posting it out a little bit earlier. So, again, sorry about that. Overall, this was a pretty good week in wrestling. Not too many complaints, other than a few segments that weren't great. But, with those segments, it's just kind of like, well, you know, the other stuff outweighed it. And, yeah, even now, and I think there's more good than bad, so can't complain about that. I'll try to find a way not to. I'm joking. But yeah, really good. Like, the match quality, absolutely great. The promos weren't that good, though. There were like one or two promos that were on SmackDown. Then Bianca Belair down in NXT, a promo that she had with Baszler wasn't bad. It was on the better side. So, anyway, with Raw, there was a lot of stuff I liked. I liked how they booked Balor. Absolutely a fan of that. Like, just do more. Stuff like that. That made Balor look great. And yeah, I can't really complain about that. I mean, everybody looks good, so throughout, I made Jinder look smart for, you know, being able to plan ahead. Made Balor look incredibly strong, you know, surviving the beatdown. Then also coming back and pinning Cena. He pinned John Cena. absolutely huge in the endorsement from Cena afterwards. Great, just, really helping Balor out with his momentum, which I guess WWE is very keen on. And Balor gained a lot of that. So, anyway, new IC champion, Bobby Lashley. Absolutely, like, WWE's triple threats have been absolutely on point. Just great all around. Of course, there's usually like that one person that's a little, I don't want to say like left out, but yeah, you know, there's usually that person that doesn't really feel too involved. And in this match, it was Bobby Lashley. And Becky, Charlotte, Carmella, all three, or both times, it was Carmella. Last time, Carmella did feel a little bit more like a threat in the match. Absolutely love that. Great. It was a great match. And I'm wrong. Lashley was a little bit of an afterthought, but of course he came back and won. Lashley did have some good spots. But, of course, the focus was more on Rollins and Ambrose, which, actually, when you think about that, it's absolutely perfect booking. Because if the focus is on Ambrose and Rollins, you know, Lashley just, like, that spear out of nowhere, basically, after Rollins was setting up for the curb stomp, then Leo Rush, you know, I think he pulled down the top apron, or not the top apron, top rope, up on the apron. Rollins fell out to the outside. Lashley with that absolutely incredible spear and into the the transition into the pin, absolutely great. It was perfect. And of course, let's see. Yeah, Moment of Bliss. Ooh, that. A little bit mixed reception on my end, because I thought it had some good spots. Like, I thought, like, Moment of Bliss, like, Paul Heyman being on there, you know, that, I think helps even things out. Like, makes, you know, like, the women's division seem a little bit more equal, that stuff. To me, that puts more of an impact on things as far as, like, the divisions being equal than the women main eventing a pay-per-view or even having their own show, because, I mean, you can do that any time, but when it affects the week-to-week stuff, you know, the weekly shows, and, you know, basically on the same level, then, you know, now you're getting somewhere, basically. And Bliss, if anybody was to have a talk show in the women's division, absolutely should be Bliss, because, I mean, her mic skills are absolutely incredible. She's usually on point, so. Yeah, the stuff before the segment, though, like before they cut to the commercial, absolutely ridiculous. It shouldn't have been on TV. I guess, I don't know, they're testing the waters, I guess? I really don't know. There wasn't any need or point to have that on there. It was just sort of like, you know, needed to fill a little bit of time. So, hey, remember the stuff that we used to do in the 90s? Let's do that. Basically, that's what that was. But the women's tag titles getting unveiled on the show, that was great. Made the show feel a little bit bigger, I guess, a little bit more special. Because, you know, you get announcements like that. And, you know, they're going to be contested inside the Elimination Chamber. Which, yeah, I agree with. Admittedly, the first tag team Elimination Chamber was a bit crap. I mean, really, it was. 2015, but that was a bad year for the Chamber. 2016, they took the year off, and I think we all know the reason why. So, curious to see how that turns out. And I'm pretty sure, fairly confident, that the first champs are going to be Sasha and Bayley. Boston Hug Connection. I would imagine they're going to hold the titles till Mania, maybe? Because at that point, it depends on how old they're doing as champs, I guess. Or maybe at Mania, that's where they get a big win. You know, that's perfect pay-per-view for a big face win. Be a great time for them to have their WrestleMania moment, I guess. So, first champs. I hope they do, like, a whole SmackDown versus Raw thing. On pay-per-views, have a team from the other brand. of course. Oh, actually, no. I can't take that back. I would say big four / big five pay-per-views, and then these network specials is when I would have the Raw versus SmackDown matches. Survivor Series, I would put a big emphasis on that. I hope it's not, you know, whoever wins, like, oh, that's the brand that they're going to, because then they're going to go to Raw. And I don't think they're going to have a show on, or another set of titles for SmackDown, because that's way too many titles. Like, okay, women's tag titles, you know, people seem pretty excited about that. So, and people don't seem to mind the overhaul titles. Personally, yeah, I kind of like, I would like to have, to see another set of titles in the women's division. Because, you know, even if it is tag titles, personally, I think I would prefer, like, a women's intercontinental title, or maybe even the United States title. But yeah, tag titles, you know, because they have these women's stables, but you know, they don't have a prize, so it's a little bit pointless for them to be in a team other than, like, hey, I'll help you win a match. Okay, thanks. And that whole thing, basically. I mean, it's just kind of like, other than the stable leader, you know, the other two don't really, or the other member doesn't really, like, stable. Like, Absolution or Riot Squad, Ruby Riot, you know. She's the star of the show. Sarah Logan, Liv Morgan, they're just kind of like afterthoughts. Dang it, Riot Squad is a little bit of an afterthought, but of all of them, arguably, Ruby is the most, I don't want to say memorable, but I think that's, I guess most relevant is the word that I'm looking for. So, yeah, curious to see where they go with the women's tag division. Curious to see if there's going to be more tag team, women's tag teams in NXT, or is it just going to be, you know, like, okay, you're a team on the main roster, even though, like, they were great on their own in NXT, just kind of like, well, now you're a team. So, but what was I saying? Or what was I thinking? I had a good thought, but then I forgot it, of course. It's the way it usually goes. So, anyway, you know, I really, really hope that, I shouldn't say if, I should say, like, when the revival go to All Elite, I hope they do kind of like a National Hall sort of situation in WCW, like, make it look like they're invading, you know? I think that'd work out well, personally, because, I mean, don't have a third man, you know, just have the revival be kind of like what they were. And actually, I said this, see, the last episode or two episodes ago, let them be, like, in WWE. Like, if they were to stay in WWE, this is pretty much what they would have to do. But, honestly, I think they're just kind of, like, too far gone for them to stay with WWE. Unless WWE, of course, offer them quite a bit. Like, that's really the only way I could see them going, or I could see them staying with the company. But they just need to have a monster run, basically. Kind of like Authors of Pain, but churned up. Like that. Like similar, but at the same time. You know, at the same time, like, make it their own sort of thing. Have them not, like, legitimately injure people, but that figure four, like, long that they used to do, that spot, like, have them do that. Like, taking out their competition. You know, make them seem like nobody can stop them at the point where, like, there has to be an authority figure for All Elite. So, like, in WWE or All Elite, this is what they should absolutely do with Revival. Like, if it's All Elite, then do the Invader storyline and, like, transition into this. But, like, have, like, whoever is in charge, like, put two singles stars together. Like, okay, we need challengers for the Revival. You know, are you guys willing to step up and face them? Like, have them actually be nervous at first. Like, oh, I don't know about this, you know. You know, like, saw what they did to so-and-so. You know, stuff like that. It's the believability is what they need. Like, making people believe, like, these people are a credible threat to anybody. Okay, so, like, Arn Anderson, for example, back then, back when he used to wrestle, like, I'm sure people legitimately thought, I wouldn't want to get into a fight with this guy, like a bar fight, or getting into the back alley with this guy, like, that might not be my smartest idea, you know, stuff like that. You know, like, Shayna Baszler, for example, there is a lot of believability. Like, sure, her promos are a little weak, but, I mean, with her being a former MMA fighter, and they booked her great in that aspect, like, legitimately, I would never, ever, I mean, I know I'm a guy, and, you know, legal stuff, but in a false reality that I hope doesn't happen, if it was legal, I would not in a million years want to get into a fight with her, because she would legit rip my arms off and all sorts of stuff like that. It would be a bloody mess, and I'm a big enough person to admit I would be crying within the first 5 seconds of the fight. Because apparently there's a thing called journalist strength, where honestly, I really don't think I'd be tough enough to endure a beatdown from Baszler or somebody of Baszler's ability, I guess. Honestly, it's kind of like almost what would happen if I got into a fight with Lesnar. Like, this stuff would never happen, but if it did happen, you know, I'm just trying to stress the believability. You know, like, sure, I'm sure, like, these people are, you know, incredibly strong, and, you know, I wouldn't really want to get into a fight with any of them, but, I mean, there are some people. That you believe more that, like, oh wow, I really don't want to get into a fight with them. Like, Lucha Dragons, or not Lucha Dragons, Lucha House Party, for example, they're one of the people, some of the people on the roster where it's just kind of like, well, I probably still wouldn't be able to take them, but I mean, it's not like there's that believability that it would be a one-sided battle and you would leave a broken, bloody mess. With Lucha House Party, any of them, really. And I know Kalisto supposedly doesn't have a sense of humor, so hopefully don't get on his bad side for saying this, but honestly, I think out of all the luchadors in WWE, the mass luchadors in WWE, I would say Rey Mysterio really is the most believable. But most of them generally, I mean, sure, they can do some very impressive stuff in the ring, but that doesn't necessarily. That wouldn't transition into, like, a back alley fight or a bar fight, something like that. You know, let's see. Anyway, so, SmackDown, Raw and SmackDown have just been absolutely great. Like, not absolutely great, but they've been a lot better than what they have been. Okay, SmackDown has been good, but honestly, I think they've gotten better. And this is what I predicted what would happen with All Elite Wrestling. I mean, I'm not totally sure if it's 100% that, or if it's, you know, something to do with the Fox Seal. Or, you know, Fox saying, you know, hey, you gotta step up your content. You know, because we want our money's worth, basically. Sort of scenario. Either way, we win. You know, us as wrestling fans, you know, the people that watch WWE. Honestly, though, I do think it is more of the Fox deal, or not the Fox, more of All Elite Wrestling than the Fox deal, because they're still having some silly crap on there, like the Voxelbus segment, then, yeah, the whole Mandy Rose segment as well. I mean, that segment did make Mandy Rose out to be, like, made her look like a heel like a really good heel, basically. Like, she looked very hateable. Or not looked very hateable, she was very hateable in that feud, or not in the feud, but in that segment. Like, throughout the show, basically. For wanting to separate these two, like, break up a marriage just because he hates somebody. I mean, that's pretty dark. Not dark, but that's messed up. You should never do something like that. For obvious reasons. I mean, it's different if it's like, I mean, it's not completely different, but it is a little different if, like, the relationship was, like, built on sand, you know, like, doesn't have a good foundation, stuff like that. Yeah, but still, you shouldn't really get too involved, but, like, the whole thing with, again, shouldn't get involved, but if they're, like, heading down, like, if they're built on, like I said, the whole built on sand thing, then, you know, they're probably going to reach that point eventually. Pretty much just sped things along, which, yeah, still isn't really great. Either way, still a very bad thing to do. But Rey Mysterio and Andrade, absolutely great match. That should have been on the Rumble card. Kind of disappointed that wasn't. But, sorry, I'm just playing Universe Mode, and pretty exciting cutscene happened, so it's just kind of like, ooh, you know, that sort of thing. It's like, wonder what's going to happen, you know. Anyway, so, yeah, Andrade and Rey. Should have been on the Rumble, but it should have been on a pay-per-view. I kind of want SmackDown to get the Elimination Chamber and, like, an Elimination Chamber match. There's probably going to be, like, two or three Elimination Chamber matches. Depends on who gets, or who wins the Rumble, the other brand will get, like, that Elimination Chamber match to turn. You know, oh, who's gonna face the champ? You know, that sort of thing. Because it looks like SmackDown's gonna get the chamber, like that chamber style match. Because all of the favorites to win the Rumble are on the Raw side of things. You know, obviously Rollins, I would say McIntyre's a favorite to win the Rumble. I hate to say it, but kind of Strowman, kind of, but I don't think they will, because the past promos, like the past couple promos that Strowman has had, have been awful. I mean, he's just not good on the mic. And they've kind of, like, played that out as one of the bigger parts of his character, his promos. You know, some of the stuff, like, he used to be good on the mic, you know, but then the injury kind of derailed his mic skills a little bit. Here's the thing, though. Even if a wrestler has bad lines, like, you know, WWE hands them kind of a crappy script. I mean, like they've been doing to Ambrose. Ambrose, as an example, has still been able to deliver those lines. I mean, Bray Wyatt as well. Where's Wyatt been, by the way? Oh, I bet he's going to show up in the Rumble. I hope that's the case. I've actually kind of missed Wyatt a little bit. Anyway. Even with bad lines, it's really, you know, it's really about the delivery, and Strowman's delivery was just awful. It really was. It was, I'd say that Strowman's, like, air quotes, face-to-face thing with Brock, I would say that's one of the already one of the worst promos of the year. Now, that whole thing with Brian and AJ on SmackDown, it doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. There isn't really much point to it. So, as a result, it's just not that great, unfortunately. I mean, the match is going to be great. There's no doubt about that. It's just a matter of, how are they gonna handle the go home show? Basically, for our hats as far as seeing how well the story is going to go. Personally, I kind of want to see Brian and Mustafa Ali at Mania. Because I think on a big stage like that, they can have an absolutely great match. I swear, on this show that I'm doing, it's like the non-televised universe mode that I do. I have Raw, SmackDown. I don't have NXT because of the developmental system. It's developmental. But I did download two other brands. They are both video games. Mayhem, you know, the mobile game, then All Stars, that old arcade style. Not like old, but like the older arcade style game where it's just overly animated, basically. And did draft and all that stuff. But on the one show that I'm doing, it's back to back segments. Two matches in a row. Like the other person came out and attacked the other. And after that, there's a little bit of a break. Because it was a squash match. Actually, I didn't book that. Just kind of like set up that way. Then, the last two matches that I did, somebody ran out. First one was Andrade. I put him as a World Heavyweight Champ. And then the second one was a custom I made for NCW. And both times, both set up a triple threat, sort of. And they came and attacked the opponent that got beat, while the winner, you know, the big baby face, you know, came in, you know, saved the day, basically, that sort of thing. But there was a stare down between, you know, the two that had the match. Anyway, but SmackDown, though, I thought I had a good start with Becky Lynch coming out, whole thing with Asuka, like how, like, they mentioned the streak pretty well. You know, like, there's so much hype behind Asuka heading into Mania with the streak, but then she lost, you know. I thought that was good. I enjoyed that. Anyway, so then Asuka. I know it's language barrier and that whole thing, but I mean, her promo in English just wasn't that good. But, you know, the whole Japanese thing, even though I didn't know what she was saying, she was, like, both times, though, I gotta give credit to her, she was really enthusiastic. Like, she was really into the promo, and that was great. You know, added a little bit more to the promo, which, fair enough, you know, anytime you can add more to the promo, yeah, fine, yeah, do it. Really. So yeah, and they both beat the Iconics. Yeah, it wasn't tag matches, singles matches, that sort of thing. And, I like how Asuka beat, I think it was Billie Kay. She beat Billie Kay faster than Becky beat Peyton Royce. I did like that, you know, made Asuka, you know, the champion, looking pretty strong, heading into their match at the Royal Rumble. Absolutely great. Yeah, not too much more I can say. I don't like how AJ came out early, or not like early, but he came out like pretty much interrupting Becky and Asuka. But I'm not sure if that was for time reasons or not. They definitely could have cut the birthday segment a little bit if they needed time. Or maybe they needed time for the birthday segment. Oh, jeez. But I don't know if it's Shane, like, backstage just drunk with power, but something needs to be done. Like, Shane has gotten way too involved with storylines recently. I mean, it's ridiculous. He's the authority, one of the authority figures now, and you have a roster of, incredibly talented roster, you know, use the roster a little bit more, you know, if you're struggling to find storylines, you know, Saf Ali, Samojo, starting a little bit of a feud, which, yeah, that could be pretty good, Andrade Rey, you know, continue on their feud. Absolutely great. Their match, like, perfection, basically. I really enjoyed it. Rey again doing a Canadian destroyer, which again absolutely shocked me. But yeah, Andrade again picking up the win. I would say, if I was a betting man, which I'm not, but if I was, I would say that Andrade has pretty bright future in 2019. Oh, and the NXT call-ups. I did not like that. I don't like how they're handling the NXT call-ups. They should have just done it the regular way. You know, maybe debut one or two of them in the Rumble. Instead of, you know, like have them on both Raw and SmackDown. I guess just to see, you know, I know which would handle them better, but which would, you know, crowd reaction, like, that sort of stuff, like, you know, which brand were they better received on, I guess that's what they're doing, which, okay, fair enough, that is pretty smart, but, I mean, you could have just done that during, like, commercial break, you know, something like that, so. I wonder if they don't do that. Like, debut them in, like, a dark segment during a commercial. So that way they know, like, which brand that they would be, that they would get the better crowd reaction on. Like, I guess it's more of, like, which brand wants to see them more. Or, like, not which brand, but, like, which brand people would rather see them on. That's what I was getting at. Which, okay, again, that's pretty smart. So, you can, not really utilize, but you can get more of a, you can get more of an idea of what people would rather see for these, for the NXT call-ups, you know, which, again, it's a fairly smart idea. So, since this is actually my third time recording the podcast, and just gonna check to see how I'm doing on the time. Okay, yeah. Probably not gonna get to IPWL tonight. But it will be. I was planning on doing a IPWL episode. Which, again, for time reasons, probably not gonna be able to get to. But, was bottle on the floor, trying to figure out what that noise was. Anyway, but for that IPWL episode, I did do some slight changes instead of, trying to think here. Oh yeah, I was gonna do plan on doing Omega versus Neville 1-on-1. I changed that match to a Elimination Chamber match, as a normal contenders match for the international title. So then also can announce a few tic-tac-tumble matches that will be happening Samoa Joe gonna get his rematch. Next episode, Tic Tac Tumble. Then against Bandido. For the TV title, then Adam Cole, Pete Dunne. Winner gets the cash in. Briefcase match. Yeah, stuff like that, basically. Oh, there's another one as well. Another, like, cash-in contendership match. That was for the women's division. I can't remember what it was, though. I remember Adam Cole and Pete Dunne because of that feud. Or, not really feud, but kind of, like, set up that rivalry on accident, to be honest. And, in the, call it in that rumble. So, anyway. Oh, Paige and Shayna Baszler. Yeah, it should be good. So. Anyway. So. Unfortunately, I did miss NXT this week. When NXT was on, there was not really Power Outage, but Xfinity was doing a something with the Wi-Fi. I think like they were doing like an update or something like that. But it started in the morning, so I expected. You know, they said 3 hours at like 7 o'clock. It finally came back on about 9:30 p.m. So, because of that, I missed NXT. At that point, I was watching something else. I think it was a Ramsey's 24-hour show. So, yeah, at that point, I had missed NXT. So, anyway, but I did, you know, read some of the stuff that happened. Gotta say, really wish I'd watched it. Apparently the promo between, Shayna Baszler and Bianca Belair, that was supposedly pretty good. Apparently Belair slapped Baszler. And of course she instantly left the ring because me and Shayna Baszler. So pretty understandable. And yeah, pretty much I saw that pretty much that's job in, you know, getting people excited for their match. So yeah, fair enough. Credit to him. So, I guess, you know, why not? Instead of, like, just talking about wrestling, let's get a little personal, you know, get to a little behind-the-scenes stuff. Like, what I'm kind of like doing in my daily life and stuff like that. So, because I guess some people like that, you know, get to connect with, or not really connect, but you get to, get to know a little bit more about the person, obviously, how they do stuff with that, but, anyway, so, usually I'm not one, usually don't do New Year's resolutions, but this year I decided to start one. Wanted to read more, so yeah, it's basically what I've been doing in my spare time. Started reading Misery by Stephen King. That is just so psychotic. it's just messed up. It really is. So, it's like some of the stuff this guy has to go through. It's something that is, I guess, indescribable would be the right word, because I can't think of the right thing. It's just something where, right, so the main character, Paul Sheldon, a writer, gets into a car crash, and this psychotic, I think, I'm pretty sure her name's Annie, like Annie Wilkes, something like that. Either way, she's doing all this crazy stuff because she, in her mind, in her crazy messed up mind, thinks, you know, she's helping. And really, it's, for him, it's really do or die. Basically, that's the situation that he's in. So, anyway, should have done this earlier, but want to give a little birthday shout out to Blue Proper 03. Not sure if I mentioned this on camera or not. I have advertised or given a little shout out to her channel, which, yeah, why not do it again? You know, it's a Rubik's Cube channel, basically. Not like laughing at that idea, just want to make that clear. Just like that transition is what I'm laughing at. Oh man, that wasn't my best transition. She's like, yeah, so might as well, why not? Anyway, if you're into Rubik's Cubes, you know, check out the channel. Pretty good channel. I'm assuming there's going to be more content. She doesn't really upload, from what I've noticed, upload all that much compared to me, where I upload at least once a week. You know, so kind of like yin yang sort of thing going on there. Anyway, but yeah, if you're into Rubik's Cubes, check out the channel. If you could give her subscribe, that'd be absolutely great. And I know she'd really appreciate that. But yeah, happy birthday to her. Hope she had a good birthday, so. But, yeah. Not really. I really don't have that much to say. I really don't. I mean, other than, you know, like the stuff that I said about, you know, starting to read more, stuff like that. I really just, there isn't really that much going on in my life that, I mean, of course there's like one or two things, but they're more personal. And I really want to say it on the podcast, because, again, kind of personal. But yeah, overall though, very fortunate. You know, have a great fan base. You know, good number of subscribers. So far, sometimes in the comment section, there's a soap opera which drives my views up, which I'm of course happy about, because why not? And actually, I think since that started, I did gain a subscriber off of that, so yeah, can't complain about that. If you can find a way to complain about that, find a way. And if you do, then what a downer you must be if you can find a way to complain about gaining a little bit more of a fan base, you know, your numbers going up, basically, YouTube stats and that. I mean, again, but yeah, that's it for this episode. Kind of hope a little bit more happens next week as far as, like, news and that. Yeah. Just thank you guys for listening, supporting me. New year. Wanna try to, I feel like I don't do it enough. I want to try to express my gratitude, because really, without you guys listening, watching the YouTube channel and that, I mean, I'd still be doing it, but I would not be as happy with it. And I just want to make clear, my goal with YouTube and with the podcast, I'm not trying to make money. I just want to make that clear. I just wanted to do something, you know, kind of like on the side, you know, started as a hobby, but now, you know, this has been absolutely great. You know, like, some people come on, comments, you know, it's just like, hey, I love your channel, like, hey, I love your channel, like, stuff like that makes my day. Getting an international viewer, like, to me, international, like, somebody putting in the comments, you know, puts a comment in a foreign language, that just blows my mind. Like, I have people from other countries viewing my content. It's just absolutely incredible. It's just one of the best feelings I've. It really does make your day. Honestly, I would 100% recommend doing it, like, just for fun, because here's the thing, if you're, like, going out to make money with this, like, okay, that's fine, some people have been successful, but, I mean, if you're starting at, like, ground level, pretty much like I did, then it might be kind of a slow rise. So, obviously, I mean, that's with, really with any startup. But anyway, yeah, thank you guys so much. Hope to continue this throughout 2019 into 2020. So, thanks for listening, and I will see you guys next time, hopefully for IPWL, which I'm actually pretty excited about for the next 2 episodes, then NCW as well. Pretty pumped about some of the new stuff. So, yes, see you guys next time.